Turning tonight in our Bibles, please, to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and begin to read together from verse number 1. Matthew chapter 14, beginning to read together from verse number 1. Matthew 14, reading from verse 1, let's hear the word of God, please. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." For Herod had laid hold on John, and bound him, and put him in prison, for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them, and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, "Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger." And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel. And she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. We'll pause there. We'll end our reading, middle of verse 13, and we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. Let's unite our hearts in prayer again, please. As we come to this juncture, pray for the preacher, pray for the meeting, pray for the unsaved. Let's all seek the face of God. Let's all draw near. Let's seek him now together. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the quietness of this meeting house, we again approach thee at this juncture. We realize, we thank thee that the scriptures have now been read. We thank thee for the word of God in our own mother tongue. We thank thee for the scriptures of truth that point to Christ. And, O God, as we come tonight to consider this portion, we ask for a sense of God to come over this gathering, the hush of eternity to descend into our midst. Lord, there's no man here can do anything for the soul of any other. We must have the movings of the Holy Ghost. And therefore, Father, we cry to thee, thankful for the words of Scripture that remind us all that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? Thou hast said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." We cry to thee, Father in heaven, that for the sake of thy Son, and for the glory of thy great name, and for the good of souls, that thou might send the Holy Ghost with power into this gathering. I confess before heaven's throne and before this gathered people my complete inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. I pray, Lord, that you'll empty me of self and sin. Wash me completely in Jesus' blood. Grant me that baptism of power, that infilling of the Holy Ghost with power, that gracious anointing which only God can give. O God, grant it to us tonight. Close us in with thee. Purge the atmosphere in Jesus' blood. And do a work in this meeting for the glory of God and the good of souls. Extend the everlasting kingdom of God and of grace. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The last time I preached a gospel message in this house, I entitled it that night, "Passing the Point of No Return." I spoke from Genesis 6, verse 3, of how God said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Tonight I want to speak on a sinner, a wicked, ungodly sinner, who tonight, as this meeting continues before God, perishes in the fires of eternal hell. Tonight, his throne, his kingdom, his lusts and his sin all add to the torments in his soul. That soul that he has lost. That soul that has no peace and never will have peace. It was his soul and he lost it. In life, this individual had really all that the world could give him. He was brought up and educated in the city of Rome. He was given a kingdom to rule over it. A kingdom that his ungodly father gave him, Herod the Great. His mother was Martha, the third wife of Herod the Great. Like all rulers, like all men, he had his day. And his years passed as a tale that was told. Many tales have been told about him. Many history books record his name. His time came to be born, and his time came to die. And sinner, I want you to remember that at this point. There's a time to be born, there's a time to die. There's a time when life is given, and there's a moment when life is removed. What you do between those two junctures, what you do with Jesus Christ before the time you were, or between the time you were born and the time you die, determines how you die. It determines where you go when you die. It determines, is it angels that will carry away your soul, or is it devils? Because Luke's gospel makes it clear, it's one or the other. It's either angels or devils. Death is level ground. One by one, all enter the valley. One by one, all are taken away. But what you do with Christ before you enter that valley determines, is it heaven or hell? Is it saved or lost? Is it angels that take you, or is it devils? Because the Bible's clear. It's one or the other. I speak tonight by the help of God. I want to look with you at the life and death of Herod the Tetrarch. The life and death of Herod the Tetrarch. His name's recorded there in chapter 14, verse 1. At that time, thus saith the Holy Ghost, at that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus. The first thing I want to show you in the life of Herod is this, is his sin. Herod the Tetrarch, as I've already said, was the son of the infamous Herod the Great. He was brought up and educated in the city of Rome. His father gave him a kingdom, the kingdom of Galilee, in which he was to rule in at the time of John the Baptist's ministry, indeed the time of our Lord's ministry. But Herod was a wicked man. He was an ungodly man. Historians, when they write on him, they don't try to conceal that. That was what Herod was. Like all men, he was born in sin. He had a nature at enmity with God. He had no standards for proper living whatsoever. But dear people, Herod had one awful, darling sin. It was a sin that was born of lust. It was a sin that was born in his own heart. And it was a sin that all Galilee knew he had. It was a sin that the Bible doesn't even try to conceal. The Bible names the sin, because the darling sin of Herod the Tetrarch was Herodias. Herodias
was Herod's darling sin. She was another man's wife. To make it worse, she was a member of his family's wife. She was the wife of his half-brother Philip. It was said of Herod the Tetrarch, what Solomon said of those that go after the harlot. The sin, their own sin has bound them with their own cords. Herodias, her feet led down to hell. Here's what it was. Here's what it was in the life of Herod the Tetrarch. His darling sin, Herodias, a member of his own family's wife. It was a sin he connived to have. It was born in his own heart. But dear people, it was a sin that God knew all about. God knew all about it. And when you understand that, unsaved friend, God knows all about your sin. It's not hidden from him. Herod's sin was an attack on God. It began with a look. It led to lust. It led to murder. It led to silencing the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Behold the Lamb of God." And ultimately, it led to the fires of eternal hell. Because tonight, that is where Herod the Tetrarch is. He's damned. And Herod the Tetrarch is damned forever. And we're going to see later that Christ never answered him a word. Sinner, let me ask you this way. What's your Herodias? What's your darling sin that keeps you from Jesus Christ? What's the darling sin that's taken you down to hell? And as Herodias lay in the heart of Herod, there's that sin. And it's in your soul and it's in your heart. And could I be speaking to one in this meeting? And that just about sums you up. There's one sin and you can't let it go. And it's taken you swiftly down to destruction. It's taken you swiftly down to hell. Like Herod the Tetrarch, God knows all about it. And God says, be sure. Your sin will find you out. Oh, it found Herod out. We're going to see that later on. It found him out. Listen, sinner. Herod wasn't without a witness. There was a preacher came to Herod. There was a preacher came to Herod and dealt faithfully with his soul. Look with me at verse number 3. For Herod had laid hold on John, that's John the Baptist, and bound him, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. He dealt with him faithfully about his soul. Herod, it's sin. She's not your wife. Herodias, he's not your husband. John dealt faithfully with him. Sinner, let me ask you again. What's the darling sin that's keeping you from Christ? What's the darling sin that lies in your heart? And every time you think of coming to Christ, it stops you and it crushes you. And you can't let it go. What is that sin? For Herod, it was Herodias. What's the darling sin that makes you hate the preaching on sin? As Herod hated the preaching of sin when John brought it to him, landed John the Baptist into the dungeon because he preached on sin. Sinner, what's the sin? What's the sin that right now in this meeting God's putting his hand on? That one that keeps you from Christ. That one that you love above all others. That one that you just can't let go of. For Judas, it was money. For Cain, hatred. Pride. Absalom, it was power. For Herod the Tetrarch, it was Herodias. And their darling sins landed all four of them into the midst of hell's fire. They haven't gone out of extension. They're there tonight, tormented in the flame. And the darling sin is still in their soul. And they still lust after it. More and more and more. It's there. And they're there. Herod's sin. I want to show you something else. Herod's sin led to murder. Herod's sin led to murder. Because that's how the party ended. What's in the heart has to come out. Look at verse 5. And when he would have put him to death. When he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude. Mark 6, in Mark's account of it, he tells us Herodias had a quarrel against John and would have killed him, but she could not. Oh, here it is now. And then you know what happened. The birthday came. And the daughter of Herodias danced before Herod. And the sin raged. And by an oath he promised to give her whatever she wanted. And being before instructed of her mother, she asked for the head of John the Baptist. Just silence the preacher. Just silence the preacher. And then I'll have my sin. And then I'll never have to think about it. The Bible tells us the henchman was sent to the dungeon of the man of God. And there God's voice, there the voice of one crying, "Behold, the Lamb of God," was silenced. Silenced. Undoubtedly, angels watched on in horror as God's preacher was executed. Undoubtedly, the fallen world of devils rejoiced as God's preacher was silenced. But Herod, we say again, be sure your sin will find you out. And like every sinner and every sin, the time comes to receive its wages. I want you to notice that for this sin, the wages were swift, the wages were sudden, the wages were irreversible, and they all culminated in the doom of Herod. Look with me at verse number 14. Because the result of this awful sin, this darling sin, when Jesus heard of it, verse 13, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place. Oh, understand this, sinner. There's far more entailed in that little phrase than just the Lord getting into a boat and going away. It's far more than a physical departure. Here's the moment Herod passed the point of no return. Christ departed. Christ departed into a desert place. Sinner, you remember this. Christ's departure from any sinner is the sealing of their doom. Herod had a kingdom, but there's no mercy for him. Herod wore a crown and he's about to lose it. Herod had now his sin and no preacher to cry against him. But at this moment, Herod passes the point of no return. Sinner, I say it again, don't drive away the Holy Ghost. Turn in your Bible, please, to Matthew 8. Go back a few chapters. Matthew chapter 8, verse 34. The Lord Jesus has been in the land of Gadara. He's delivered sinners from the hand of the devil. And there's this unbelievable scene unfolds instead of the people rejoicing. Verse 34 tells us, and behold, don't miss it, just pause and see it. The whole city come out to meet Jesus, and you would almost expect Matthew to write, and they rejoiced at the marvelous things that Christ had done in their midst, and saving these men, and delivering these men. But it's horror of all horrors, and when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. And there's no protest. And there's no asking, why do you want me to do that? And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. He just left them. He just left them. I remember talking to a brother in the Lord some time ago. He told me a story of a man in this land. For some time, God was dealing with this man, dealing with him about his sin, troubling him, putting his finger on it, causing the man to be troubled in his soul about his sin and where it was leading him. And that man did an awful thing. He asked the Lord to stop doing it and stop troubling him. And that's exactly what the Lord did. And here in Matthew 8, they asked the Lord Jesus to depart, and he departed. Sinner, I've said this before, when this book is open, God addresses you. And just as when John the Baptist addressed Herod, he did it in the name of Christ. Unsaved friend, these things are written for our learning. What's the darling sin in the soul? God's putting his finger on it. Young person, what is it? As the Holy Ghost moves in this meeting, those things, and the devil brings thoughts to your mind. How can I give this up? How can I give that up? What about this? What about that? Dear unsaved, see what's happening. Salvation is in God's terms. Repentance towards God. It's goodbye sin. Welcome, Lord Jesus. But the sin goes. The sin goes. The Lord's putting his finger on it tonight in this meeting. I'm telling you where it's leading you. The darling sin always leads to hell. That's where it takes you. Herod's doom. How do we know Herod passed the point of no return? How do we know there was no mercy for him? How do we know there's no hope? Because almost 3 years later, in the life of Herod and the life of Christ, the two of them meet. They meet. Turn with me to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. O Herod, did you not realize? Be sure your sin will find you out. Luke chapter 23, verse 8. Jesus is on his way to die for his church. He's on his way to die for sinners. And he's in the judgment hall. And he stands before the same Herod the Tetrarch, the murderer of John the Baptist. And verse 9 said, then he questioned him in many words, but he answered him nothing. He answered him nothing. Christ's on his way to die for sinners. And in that journey, he passes by one that has passed the point of no return. You see, it was said of John the Baptist, he was a voice crying in the wilderness. His message was plain. His message was simple. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And sinner, I want you to understand something. When Herod executed John the Baptist, he didn't only silence John the Baptist to him, he silenced the Lamb of God to him. And now he stands and sits, or now he sits in his judgment throne, and there's the Lamb of God before him. And the Holy Ghost tells us through Luke, he answered him nothing. Nothing to say. Christ never spoke. Christ never spoke to Herod the Tetrarch. He's on his way to Golgotha. He's on his way to shed his blood for sinners, to save the thief, to make atonement for sins, but he's not making atonement for Herod's, because Herod's going to pay for his own. Herod has passed the point of no return, and Christ had nothing to say to him. Herod, you're damned. You're damned. Undoubtedly, you're still wearing your crown, but you're damned. Undoubtedly, you've still got your little kingdom, but you're damned. The horror of the moment. Sinner, let me ask you something. If you have the slightest trouble in your soul about your sin, you need to bow your head and thank God. And immediately come to Jesus Christ. The gospel is not take it or leave it. The gospel is repent, believe the gospel, and do it now. It's the only moment you're guaranteed of. It's the only moment you're sure of. Flee to Christ, sinner. Life has been given you. The evidence of that is you're sitting in this gospel meeting. But death is coming. You've had your time to be born. The next great post that God has set for you is the time to die. Will it take you to be with Christ? Or will it take you to be with Herod the Tetrarch? Sinner, what's the darling sin? What's the sin that keeps you from the kingdom? Maybe you say, preacher, I don't doubt anything you're saying, but I don't want Christ. Well, you know what? I pray to God you change your mind, or he changes it for you. But if you stick to that, I'm going to tell you what an old preacher told me before I got saved. You better enjoy this side of eternity. Because this is your heaven. And you better make the most of it. This meeting is as near to heaven as you will ever be. You die without Christ, sinner. You're damned. Thus saith the Holy Ghost through the pages of Holy Scripture. You sin away your day of grace. You're damned. Christ never speaks to you. You're damned. Sinner, say it again. If the slightest trouble in your soul, flee to the arms of Christ. He's speaking to you. Come to Him. Repent, believe the gospel. What happened, Herod? That's the ultimate question. You say, what happened to him? Historians tell us that in the summer of 39 AD, Herod the Tetrarch was found guilty of conspiracy against the Roman Empire. He was expelled. He was exiled. Herodias was given a choice whether to go with him or stay. She chose to go with him. He was exiled into obscurity. Such obscurity, nobody actually knows the exact date of his death. He lost everything. And at a moment appointed by God Almighty, devils came and took away his soul. What could we write on his headstone tonight? We could write the words of Galatians 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And when Herod silenced the voice of God's preacher, the one who cried, "Behold the Lamb," he silenced the Lamb toward his own soul forever. Sinner, let me ask you again, what's the sin? Do you not see what the Lord's doing tonight? He's putting his finger on it. Whatever it is, has to go. It's time to come to Christ. It's time to repent, believe the gospel. What's the future for Herod the Tetrarch? You say, what's his future? Yeah, he's got one. He's not out of existence. He just now dwells in another realm. He dwells in hell. But someday the trumpet will sound. And someday Herod's soul will be brought out of hell. And wherever the dust of his body lies, it will be resurrected. And the two will be reunited. And again he'll stand before the Lamb. Only this time the Lamb's on the throne. And Herod's the prisoner. And he'll hear his final sentence. Depart, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And listen to me right now. Saint and sinner alike in this meeting will meet the Lamb. You reject Christ, you're still meeting him. But you meet him as judge. we all meet the Lamb. And it's either, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, or it's depart. But dear people, we all meet the Lamb. We all meet Christ. That's why Amos said, prepare to meet thy God, because meet God you will. The question is, sinner, how will you meet him? Will you meet him as your Lord? Cast your crown before him, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Will you meet him forgiven? The Lamb speaks of sacrifice. The Lamb speaks of a cross. Speaks of precious blood that was shed to take away sin. Oh, let me remind you again of John the Baptist's message. Behold the Lamb of God. Taketh away the sin of the world. Yes, Herod took away his life, but he couldn't take away his message. It's been preached ever since. It'll be preached while there's a church on earth. Behold Christ, sinner. Behold him now. Get to him. Whatever your sin, wash and be clean. Whatever it is, whatever that darling sin, get rid of it. Come to Christ tonight in this meeting. You have his invitation. Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Sinner, come to him. Maybe I speak to one and you've been troubled for some time. Oh, sinner, recognize what's happening. God is drawing near. The Holy Ghost is striving with you. He's causing you to see your sin. He's causing you to feel it in the depth of your soul. Understand what he's doing. In mercy, he's drawing you for forgiveness. He's drawing you for pardon. He's drawing you for cleansing. But you must come to him. You must get to him now. It's the only moment you're guaranteed of. Come just as you are. Don't be trying to clean up the act before you come. Just come the way you are. Repent. Come to Christ. Soon we'll close this meeting with a closing hymn. The great words of Charlotte Elliott, just as I am. I was reading about her conversion the other night. It's a woman of 33 years old. A preacher came to her home. And he asked her, how were things spiritually? She immediately told him it was none of his business. He never turned it. He just let it go. But 2 weeks later, he met her again. She says, preacher, I'd like to apologize for my rudeness. I should like to come to Christ very much. But I don't know how. He says, come just as you are. That day, Charlotte Elliott, 33 years old, was born of God. Soon after it, she wrote those words, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and as thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, wait to hear it, sinner, just as I am, and waiting not. To rid my soul of one dark blot. Sinner, the sin that God's putting his hand on. To thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come. Stories told 49 years later, Charlotte Elliott was born home to be with her Lord. Just like the words she penned in the final verse, just as I am of that free love, the length and breadth and depth and height to prove, here for a season, then above. O Lamb of God, I come. Sinner, is it not time to turn from it? In the quietness of your soul right now, of repentance towards God, just cry out, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. And He'll receive you. Pardon, cleanse, relief. Rest in His promise. Step out in the promise, sinner. Get under the blood. What are you going to do? Let's just bow our heads in prayer. And while all heads are bowed and all God's people are praying, I believe God's speaking in this meeting. Maybe you're here and you are troubled. Sinner, lift your heart heavenward. Ask God for mercy. He'll save you now. Speak to me at the door. Talk to me in the minister's room. Whatever help you need, you get that help tonight. Don't go away. Don't put this off any longer. There's people in this meeting right now and they're praying for you. They long to see you saved. Young person, older person. See your need tonight. Come to Christ. Our heart's desire and prayer to God for you is that you're saved. Come to Christ tonight. And let the tidings be borne upward of another soul forgiven. Almighty God and Father in heaven, by the eternal Spirit of God, strive on, grant repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Save the lost, we pray. God, do a work. Save sinners in this meeting. For Christ's sake. Amen.